Welcome to the Manufacturing the Future podcast, the show designed to help you future-proof your manufacturing operations. Each episode features interviews with innovative manufacturing leaders and subject matter experts who share their insights and best practices about the technology that can empower you to streamline operations, prepare your organization for what lies ahead, and continue to keep our world turning. I'm your host, Carrie Jordan, Vice President of Product Management at Epicor. Now, for today's episode. Hi, everyone, and welcome to a special roundtable edition of the Manufacturing the Future podcast. In this episode, which initially aired as a webinar, I had the privilege to engage with three industry experts. We discussed the results that were recently found as part of the Epicor Voice of Manufacturing Manager 2023 report. So this is a great episode. I'm excited to share it with you. You'll hear me speaking with John Preidich, the president and CEO of 6S Partners, Mark Jamieson, the president and CEO of 2W Tech, and Ivan Rebolledo, the chief revenue officer at Technology Coast Partners. Together in this discussion, we navigate through topics such as technology integration, workforce upskilling, the evolving work dynamics that we see happening in the industry, and we talk about the shifting priorities and challenges that are pretty unique to the manufacturing sector, but also impact others as well. So do listen in. I'm excited to share this with you. We explore the future trajectory of manufacturing leadership. I really enjoyed the conversation, and I think you will too. So let's jump right in. Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us. We have a great session for you today. We are going to be talking about the top findings in a report that Epicor has published recently regarding the voice of the manufacturing manager. And I'm joined today by my co-presenters, John Preidich. He's the president and CEO of 6S Partners, Mark Jamieson, the president and CEO of 2W Tech, and Ivan Rebolledo, the chief revenue officer of Technology Coast Partners. Very excited for this session that we have for you today. Let's go ahead and do some quick introductions. So I am Carrie Jordan. I'm the Vice President of Product Management at Epicor. My team is really focused in on our digital transformation solutions and industry productivity applications that are really driving the future of the make, move, sell economy. And as part of that, the voice of the manufacturing worker, the voice of the manufacturing manager, and voice of the make, move, sell economy workforce is truly instrumental in the work that we do every day. So it's very exciting to be able to dig into this type of data, especially with the experts that I have joining me. So I'll ask each of you to go ahead and introduce yourselves. John, maybe starting with you.
Sure. John Preidich, founded 6S Partners about 17 years ago as a exclusive Epicor partner, helping manufacturers realize the benefits of ERP and evolve through their journey of innovation and transformation.
Thanks so much, Sean. Great to have you here. Mark.
Hi, I'm Mark Jamieson. I'm the president and CEO of 2W Technologies. We've been an Epicor partner since before it was called Epicor. We're based in the U.S. and have clients stretched across the United States and in several other countries.
Excellent. Excellent. Great to have you join us. And Ivan.
Thank you, Carrie. And Ivan Rebolledo, I am Chief Revenue Officer for Technology Coast Partners. We've been an Epicor partner for many, many years, specializing in Latin America. So we cover everything from Mexico to the south of Argentina, working a couple of dozen countries, especially Spanish-speaking, but also English-speaking countries in Latin America. Happy to be here.
Great to have you here. All right, I'm excited to dig into this with you all. So let's first set the context, the background for everyone who is listening in. And please feel free to follow along with us as we go through the discussion today. We'll be going through the top findings from these reports. So you can go ahead and download your copies today if you would like. You could go to epicor.com/voice and you'll find the links to both of them. The Voice of the Essential Manufacturing Worker is a survey that we had completed. We surveyed 600 professionals within the manufacturing space from September to December of 2022. It was published in January of 2023. And then what's brand new is this Voice of the Manufacturing Manager report. We surveyed 400 respondents from April through June of 2023 and published this in July of 2023. So really excited to get into both of these. Again, go ahead and check out epicor.com/voice so that you can download these and follow along with us.
But before we get into what's new, let's do a quick recap of the voice of the essential manufacturing worker. Because as we talk about this, there are some interesting points where they differed slightly. So I do want to give you this context as you can be thinking about this as we go through the survey findings from the voice of the manufacturing manager. So again, we interviewed 600 frontline workers. What's interesting is a little more than half said morale is high. And we asked a couple questions around why is it high? What makes a high morale workplace? There were some interesting takeaways around, of course, more flexibility in their schedule, better work-life balance, but also some elements around the investments in the tools for upskilling, that would be training, investment in the workers that they found to be very rewarding in their day-to-day and contributed to a higher morale within their organization. Another interesting point that I wanted to share with you all was 60% said that they preferred to work for a more technology-driven or a more sustainable factory. That was higher than I expected. What that tells me is that is another way in which workers can be invested in, you know, empowering them with technology, with tools to do their job better, faster, safer, really contributes, again, to their morale. And then one that, you know, cares about the broader community, the broader place in which either their team, they work, or even, I mean, honestly, the planet, right? A more sustainable factory is one that has more compassion and is more aware of the future. And that really stood out from the survey as well. This next one was their number one challenge that they reported was a high cost of raw materials. And that's interesting, right? Because you suspect that that would be more of a C-suite type of concern, but it really manifests itself in the day-to-day workers is what we saw in the report in terms of, you know, perhaps they're working with lower quality materials, you know, that they have to then spend extra time ensuring that they're doing this right, which then, you know, contributes to their day-to-day burden and reduces the flexibility of their schedules, right? So just, you can see how this has a cascading effect. 56% said that they plan to leave their job in the next year. That was interesting, especially since you see it's high morale, you know, but we see manufacturing skill sets as so needed within the industry. That could be one of the reasons why there's a lot of opportunity out there. And then this other point, 80% said that their company was making upskilling a priority. So that's investing in the workforce. Key learnings, key takeaways for just from this one before we get into the next one was we encourage leaders to make technology and sustainability a priority in their businesses. Work with your teams to create a more flexible work schedule and consider offering more paid time off. How could you do that? We'll talk through what we asked the manufacturing managers as to how they created more balance within their systems and within their workforce. And then this other piece here, key takeaway, continue to invest in upskilling, empowering your workers, training them, preparing them for the future. That's really, as you can see, it was 80% had that initiative across their business. And so employees are expecting that. All right, now let's jump into the voice of the manufacturing manager, because I'm excited to talk with you all about this. We want to have some conversations around what it means. Quickly, though, we surveyed 400 manufacturing leaders. They were in roles that included the C-level executive suite, the owners, senior and middle management. And you can see a quick breakdown here regarding some high-level metrics of the demographics of who we interviewed. We asked about five topics. We asked about technology and modernization, upskilling and new skill sets. What is the day-to-day work like? And how do you see priorities and challenges playing out in your business? And then a section on the outlook of manufacturing leadership. All right, so let's see what they had to say. We'll dive in here. I'm going to share with you some broad key takeaways, and then I want to have a discussion about this. So 58% said that their company is very modern when they looked out compared to other businesses across the industry. And then these were some of the ways in which they invested: automation, data accessibility, and sustainability being at the top of the list, flexibility. I wanted to ask my co-presenters here, how does being perceived as very modern potentially impact a manufacturing business? And then, you know, we could also think the inverse of that, right? What would not very modern potentially mean?
You know, Carrie, this struck me, this data point struck me as a little bit of the, in the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king. Manufacturers are typically laggards when it comes to adopting technology. And so what we're starting to see is our clients leapfrogging over. So they may have some very old technology, but I think this competitive pressure to embrace technology is becoming more and more. And so we're seeing our clients leapfrog over maybe the steps that would take you to cloud or digitalization or whatever it may happen to be, because there are a whole lot of manufacturers who are, I think, are struggling to figure out the path to get to modern.
Good point.
Yeah, I think for us in Latin America, it's pretty consistent to these findings. I would say that for us, one of the areas that we see that this perception matters is how companies are building value. So manufacturers, as Mark said, they're leapfrogging, they're implementing new solutions, new, better technologies to deal with today's challenges. But at the same time, they are looking to be perceived themselves as leaders in their industries. And technology gives them that. If they are bringing new technologies, new projects, and they kind of make that part of their pitch when they're competing for business, it becomes an asset for them from the perception perspective. So we see more and more, you know, boardrooms interested in bringing technology to bring the perception of the company also as a technology leader in their field, in their industry. So that started a while back, but we're seeing it more of a point of interest in evaluation processes and even in implementation.
I'd join in and say that what Ivan and Mark have said is very key, but you know, when we look at modernization and the impact, you know, on one hand, it's, you know, sustainability and being safe from other threats, outside threats in terms of IT infrastructure. As we just heard Ivan say, it's also the ability to present your company as modern, relevant, and competitive, because to a customer or a potential customer, showing them a backward, really old technophobe company probably isn't going to be a great selling feature. But I think the key here is many of the points here affect the day-to-day worker and the management. And so collaboration, user experience, being able to attract talent today is, you know, if you're bringing somebody in and saying, this is your spreadsheet, here, go nuts, it's probably not going to be a great attractor. And the people that are looking for greener pastures are often frustrated by the lack of ease of use and the rekeying and the redundancy of what they're doing. And I think that is a new shift, and one of which we're seeing people really catch on to create an environment where manufacturing is exciting again. And part of that will be that experience for the employee.
I think you're going to see that, John, too, as the workforce gets younger. And the younger people that are going into manufacturing, are the expectation is that the technology will be there and the interface will be there. And I can use my mobile devices and I can use those things that I've grown up with. And I think that's a lot of, to your point, I think that's how you're going to attract workers to your manufacturing facility.
Absolutely. And I mean, speaking of making it an exciting workplace and, you know, leveraging these latest technologies, check out what was the top tool that those at the organization was very or somewhat modern. 49% said artificial intelligence. I was kind of surprised by that. You know, we think about the types of artificial intelligence that's out there, right? Generative AI is really only the latest craze to have taken over. But there's so many other types of AI that really manufacturing has been leveraging, right? We think about MRP, material requirements planning, you know, using compute to predict when workers or, you know, resources are going to be needed in order to complete a job. OCR, optical character resolution, you know, for AP automation. Really, there's a couple ways in which we see manufacturers, those that are modern, are leveraging technologies. What do you think about this list?
Well, for me, it was surprising. I think, again, it's pretty consistent with what we see. But what's surprising was the 3D printing is not something, at least I've seen in the projects that we're working today. What we have seen a lot of, and I didn't see in this top list, is the ability to integrate. Almost every project, every initiative in the manufacturing world that we live in will start with, okay, your solution is great. Are you going to be able to integrate it to everything else that I need to operate my business? So that ability to integrate is something that comes top of mind, I would say top five in our world in down south, right?
Great point. Yeah, you're right. We do see integration very often.
I'm not surprised by data analytics because that is really a big benefit that is almost universal to today's investments in technology. You should be able to trust the data and use the data for a competitive advantage. I was a little surprised by artificial intelligence until, and Kara, you reminded me that many companies that we meet are actually surprised by some of the automation that traditional and modern ERP provides. So, you know, automatically suggesting purchases for supply chain and balancing the production utilization of your resources. When we look through it through a typical customer's lens, it really qualifies as artificial intelligence and has been around for a long time. And today with some of the latest tools, we're starting to see that impact the user or the employee a lot more. But, you know, cloud computing is another example. And actually, Mark, that's a great area for you.
Yeah, we're seeing a ton of movement towards cloud computing and that because of the flexibility that it brings. I mean, everything, more and more, everything's in the cloud already, right? Either you're utilizing your ERP system is in a SaaS environment, your email is in a cloud environment, you're doing your banking through a web browser. And I think the question starts to happen, well, what about the rest of my stuff? And so I think that kind of that demand for that flexibility in cloud computing is certainly, I think you're going to see that number go up. And I'll tell you something else that leaps out at me is, I think in the future, whatever the future means, because sometimes the future is like a week from now, you know, and sometimes it's a month from now. But I think down the road, we're going to see artificial intelligence stop being a thing and start to be underlying into all of this. I think we're going to see, especially in manufacturing, you're going to see artificial intelligence do a lot of the analysis, do a lot of the predictions of, you know, where failure rates happen in machines, you know, where you sit, what customers you have to talk to. I think we're going to see that piece of it start to become more and more prevalent as it connects the dots in the data that are coming out of manufacturing facilities today. And I think that what will eventually happen is it will then become the next level of what we are pulling out of dashboards or pulling out of MRP or whatever we're being provided with today.
Mark, I'd agree. I believe that artificial intelligence will soon just be another word, technology, because we need to really put it in context of where's the value of it? What is it doing for us? You know, cloud computing, it's not new. And I think some of the reasons that we trust it is because so many more consumers have experience by, like, photos are online now with Google or Amazon or any of the services that back them up. But when it comes down to artificial intelligence, you know, oddly enough, cloud computing has a lot of AI built in. So do those photos when I want to search for a person. So this comfort level with, you know, where it's located and how quickly it can help me with the analytics side of it, I think it's starting to converge. And I think this is just going to be an expectation going forward.
I would agree with that. And I think for many customers right now, with all the noise and all the interest around artificial intelligence, what we see is a lot of curiosity. Customers, leaders of manufacturing companies are looking into what it does it mean for them. What is artificial intelligence? And they're starting to learn things like, you know, I'm actually using with my ERP some elements of artificial intelligence. So it demystifies the concept a little bit and makes it more practical. But at the same time, they want to explore how that's going to evolve. So I think, Kerry, you said that somewhere I saw you talking about enterprise AI. And enterprise AI is coming up more and more as an area of, again, exploration of leaders in the manufacturing sector. And we see that picking up a little bit.
Great points. It is interesting the way artificial intelligence is becoming just more and more commonplace as part of the technology. And it does surface in several ways, ways in which we might not right away call or point out as AI. You know, I think going through your photos is a great example of, you know, just way in which we've all become very comfortable with interacting with AI. And that will continue as we see spaces like ERP and supply chain management, you know, continue to evolve. Cloud computing for sure. Well, so speaking of all of this new types of technology, ways to interact with the technology, let's talk about upskilling or reskilling the workforce. You know, in order to have a workforce that is prepared for such changes as technology is evolving, as organizations are adopting new technologies, it requires changes in the workforce. So when we asked about upskilling, it was interesting to see 77% of manufacturing leaders said that they are prioritizing upskilling to help their employees become better in their current role, better perform in their current role. So we asked about how are you doing this? And we saw 56% said that they're providing access to online training platforms, 53% are doing on-site or on-the-job training, 52% said that they're doing paid time off to take training courses, and then a couple other areas as well. Have you all worked with organizations that have focused on reskilling or upskilling training initiatives? And what have you seen to be the most effective?
If I could jump out, I would suggest that, you know, when we really look at this, it's about technology adoption, but it's also about change management. And when management understands their role as, you know, the definition of being a manager is getting things done through others, you know, you can't just give them a tablet and a chisel, which sometimes could be the analogy for an Excel spreadsheet, manually collecting information and carving it up. I think when you start to realize that you need to invest in your employees, and that if you have expectations around accuracy and even utilization, full utilization of the technologies you're investing in, this becomes the key point. You know, is it going to be a great device that can do all kinds of neat things and it's going to collect dust because no one knows how to use it? Or are we going to step up and invest in our people? And I'm really happy to see that this, whether it be state-run governmental agencies that are offering upskilling funds, that's a great incentive for countries to be competitive. But as at a manufacturing level, at the microeconomics of this, you know, to be profitable is to have a happy workforce that understands their role and have role clarity. And so this is really key, that this bundle of whether it be HR or end user training on tools, and in our world, that's ERP. And it even extends beyond just the function of the software. It's sometimes the concepts, the type that the Supply Chain Institute or APEX used to train on. So that upskilling can be very broad, but super important to getting a return on investment into these technologies.
John, I think that, you know, as we talk to our clients, one of the number one challenges that manufacturing businesses have is hiring people and hiring, you know, the right skilled people. And I think there has been a kind of a change to, we understand we're not going to hire someone maybe has the skill level that we need to hire, or we need to keep these people here. So we need to continually train them to stay challenged and to move up into the other challenges that we have in our operation. And I think we're starting to see that. This particular number makes a lot of sense to me. We're seeing a lot of those types of initiatives being rolled out through our client base.
Yeah, I think for us in Latin America, it becomes an opportunity or a missed opportunity many times when leaders are presenting a new project or a new technology project in their businesses. Because I think naturally, many of these elements of upskilling happen during implementation, when you're bringing a new ERP project from the company, for example. And I think when we look at how people get motivated and people get engaged, I think it's an area where leaders could help their teams understand how this new technology, this new project, understanding and using new technology is going to help them move their careers. And it doesn't really matter if it's inside the company or not. It's going to help them all the way into the marketplace. So in a way, we try to do that. We try to, when we have conversations about how we're going to, you know, manage change, how we're going to run an implementation process with customers, we bring this to their attention. You know, it needs to be communicated to everybody. And in ERP projects, for example, most people are involved. Most teams at the company are involved. They need to understand the opportunity that this gives them and the upskilling that they're going to acquire just by being part of a project. And it could be an ERP project or any other business technology project. So I think for us in Latin America, it's a little bit of an education process in this particular part. But once managers grasp it, it becomes really powerful and you see teams, you know, really getting engaged.
Great points, Ivan. I mean, as you're saying, it's really an opportunity to help workers advance their careers. I mean, what a great incentive to have them join your company in the first place. Mark, going to your point about It's been difficult for many years to hire qualified workers, to find qualified workers. And this is a great investment in order to reskill or upskill the current workers you have to really empower them for the future of your organization. And then, as we're saying, in the broader marketplace. And then, John, it is a change management initiative, right? Because this requires investment. It requires alignment across the teams, which is, of course, not always easy. So great points here. You know, I wanted to go to the next one regarding the day-to-day. So this was interesting. 64% said that morale is high at their company. And so similar to what we asked the workers in the worker version of this survey, we asked the managers, why? How? What are you doing? You know, what is driving high morale? Because this is something that we would definitely want to share as best practices. And number one was more paid time off. And I think that this is interesting because there are many complex challenges to be able to offer more paid time off. So I want to, you know, discuss this with you all. The other top reasons was giving employees recognition and opportunities for growth, which must be very closely tied to upskilling, bonuses and higher pay, and then providing better tools and technology, and then a variety of other reasons. But, you know, as we're thinking about these types of initiatives in order to improve morale at a manufacturing organization, where would you recommend manufacturers start?
Gary, I think that, first of all, manufacturing is a pretty good gig. It's you make stuff, it's tangible, you know, you can easily see what you do. It's challenging, you know, the new technology, even just in machining technology. It's overall, when you look at all the uncertainty and all the stuff that's going on today, you go to work in a manufacturing facility, you have an order, you make your pieces, you make your customers happy, you put them in a box, you ship them out, you go home, right? And so I think just overall why morale is high isn't super surprising to me. I think everybody would like more pay and more time off and all that other stuff. But I think the piece of that that gets missed is the employee recognition and the opportunity for growth. It's how do you recognize the, you know, whether it's, you know, whatever, rock cookouts. I have a lot of clients that do that. They, especially in Wisconsin, they serve lunch, you know, on Fridays to their folks. And I think kind of that camaraderie piece is a part of morale that just pays huge dividends for not a whole lot of investment.
Yeah, great point. You know, I don't mention it here, but if anybody were to, you know, read, you know, you could see there is a section where we ask, what is the most rewarding aspect of your job? The number one thing that they said was being able to build something with my hands, a tangible thing. I get to build it. And that is so rewarding. The second piece was being a part of something bigger, being a part of something meaningful. And I think to your point about the camaraderie, absolutely, that contributes to high morale.
Yeah, I think, you know, an element of implementing all of these technologies and productivity and optimization of resources, one of the direct impacts is as you become more efficient and better at what you're doing, that releases the amount of time that people need to put in, you know, very repetitive, non-value-added activities. And in turn, for many companies, that could increase the time that, or the quality time that workers get back from the daily jobs, right? So it's, again, I think it's a communication element for managers to make everybody aware that technology is going to help them do just that. Having the ability to take more time off or having the ability to learn more and grow their careers. I think it's really important for leaders to communicate that properly to their teams.
I think the balance between the value exchange of, you know, I'm an employer and I'm willing to pay and the employee who's willing to work is pretty fundamental. But, you know, to go past that, as Mark pointed out, you know, appealing to other needs, you know, social status, recognition, these are really important. And I think ultimately, it almost plays back to that education slide previously. If we're willing to invest in people, we're going to see better productivity because the training should have some results and the company won't invest unless there's some expected result. And that's another one of those value exchange scenarios. But if we can answer what's in it for me, for the employee, and we can show them and demonstrate that, they'll both be satisfied in their work-life balance of the job. They'll feel more satisfied. And with that, the company will see better productivity, ideally, and that there's going to be a win-win. And so, you know, bonusing people who are willing to put out more output or, you know, go that extra mile, I don't think that all of the top three items, they come with time when you start to realize that the win-win is there. It's just a matter of management outreaching and realizing that that value exchange needs to shift a little bit. Yeah, I think I'm not surprised by the morale shift. I think it's what's needed coming out of the last 3 years that we've had as we kind of wrapped our arms around our employees and said, you know, let's stick through this together. I think that listening is paying off now. And now's the time to double down on those other investments.
Right on. And that really takes us to the next section here around priorities and challenges. So I think I'll jump to the next one before we have a discussion here, because they're really closely tied. But just as we talked about regarding where organizations are focusing their teams, quality control was the number one priority that managers cited throughout this, followed by cost management and production efficiency, which, as I mentioned, is really closely tied to their top challenges, and that is hitting production targets, right? How do you balance quality with speed? And this was pretty fascinating to see it so closely correlated. The other top challenges that they addressed, or that they mentioned, I should say, were managing a diverse team, ensuring safety and compliance, implementing new technologies, and the list goes on from there. This is pretty interesting. Really fascinating to see the focus areas and the challenges. What do you recommend when you are working with clients? Where do they start? What types of technologies or strategies would you recommend to help solve their top challenges?
You know, I mean, a little bit biased based on my career of 35 years in ERP, but, you know, there are many point solutions out there and technologies that can be purchased. And, you know, in the year 2023, as we are today, it's, you know, there's an app for that. And I think what people are starting to realize is that there's a certain efficiency associated with a holistic approach. Playing whack-a-mole department by department to fix certain things, small things, and hope that it eventually leads to a bigger event is probably not a successful strategy. And so looking at things holistically, you know, ultimately we need to deliver a quality product on time. And, you know, we learned that in the 90s, and with leading out organizations, quality is everybody's job. But as you look at the ways that we need to measure, nothing truly gets changed unless we measure it. We can't manage it, and we can't set up a baseline. And so ERP has consistently brought a lot of these topics together, because compliance and being able to set expectations, hitting production targets, and then being able to manage quality data, I think you can't separate these things. They're all very integrated. And that's why I'm passionate about ERP, is because it does touch so much of this and enables the company to focus in on what they feel is important. But with a holistic approach, we're upping the value and the trustworthiness of what we do and making it more transparent with business systems that support the entire company. So, you know, these are individual concerns and challenges, but when you look at it holistically, I think there's a greater impact.
Gary, I think asking the three of us this question is a little bit like asking a first baseman who the most important person on the baseball team is. Because I'm right with John on this. It's all of the above. And to get to all of the above, you have to command your process. You have to command what happens when an order comes to the door. You have to command what happens when that quote becomes an order. You have to command how you're going to get it into action. All of that stuff, you have to have visibility throughout the entire manufacturing process. And John's right. And yeah, the first baseman is the most important person on the team. It all starts with ERP. Because that is, they call it line of business system for a reason, and that's what it is. And I think it starts and probably ends at your ERP system.
Yeah, I would agree with all of that. I think it's exactly the same in our experience. What I would point to again is that, and I think it's becoming very clear to leaders that are engaging new technology initiatives, is in order to have this holistic view of the company and the vision of where they're going, integration is fundamental. You know, when it's ERP is the core of every manufacturer operation. But as you look at your ERP project, that ability to integrate with the other areas of the business that are not included in ERP, it's going to become a critical point. It's becoming one of the top things, at the top of mind in leaders that we see in manufacturing is integration. They don't want to live in a world where there's an application over there in that department that is doing and solving a very important specific problem, but that they cannot see when they're sitting in their desk in another department that depends on what's happening there. So that's becoming a driver, a very important driver we see in manufacturers.
Great points. I mean, ERP really is the backbone. And once you have that strong foundation in place, it is the through integration way in which you can solve these business pains that might rise up and then connect it all so that there's a single source of truth. Totally agree. All right, you know, let's go to the next section on the outlook of manufacturing leadership. This was a section where we asked manufacturing leaders, you know, a variety of questions around what does it take, you know, to be a strong leader in the manufacturing industry these days. And this question I thought was really interesting, you know, around top skills for hiring. The most important was communication skills. I think that is so universal in so many industries. I thought that was very interesting. And it would be encouraging really for anybody who's interested in being a part of this great industry, being a part of the leadership of this great industry. Technical skills was number three on the list. Number two was problem solving skills. And then the top, of course, communication skills. And then these others, obviously very important, attention to detail, safety awareness, teamwork. But fascinating to see what they pointed out as the top skills. So with communication being so important, I just thought I'd ask you all if any of you have seen an example of an organization where they had established strong communication processes.
Yeah, we have a very recent example, probably 2 weeks ago, a very large company manufacturer electronics down south. They had to face this very big migration. And for that migration to work over a few hours on the weekend, they needed to do a lot of preparation everywhere in the company. And it is amazing to see what happened when they kick on the migration. The entire company prepared so well. They had a plan down to the minute of how the migration, and this is a massive $500 million company, migrating 7 years of data over a few hours where everything worked like clockwork. So getting everybody on board of that requires a level of communication that it's rare. I don't see that. I haven't seen that many times, but maybe it's, again, together with technology and clarity and the skills of the people involved from the customer side, from the manufacturer side, these things are becoming possible. So something we ourselves thought it would be very difficult to accomplish, they did. So we're very happy to see how that communication, that discipline in communication actually pays off big time.
Great story. Great story. All right. Well, let's go into the next section here regarding other key highlights. Just wanted to share with y'all before we wrap up some other just key highlights across the survey that really stood out. Just thought it was interesting and wanted to get your take. I have a question here, of course, but really any of these we could discuss. Regarding budget increases, over 60% for both of these, expecting an increase in hiring and retaining employees and expecting an increase in budget for new technologies and sustainability initiatives. And then when it comes to the career outlook, 81% said that they plan to stay at their job over the next year, and 71% actually said that they believe automation or robotics will change their job over the next 5 years. The one that stood out to me because it was of greatest difference from the Voice of Worker survey were only 44% said they plan to stay in their job, but 81% said that they plan to stay as a leader in a manufacturing organization. So it stood out to me. You know, would love to get your take on what's going on, but really any of these, it'd be interesting.
I think the career outlook, plan to stay at their job metric, the management versus workers, just as indicative to what we've discussed on managers in manufacturing and managers in businesses in general need to pay attention and make sure that their employees and their workers are getting what they want out of their careers and out of their lives. And they need to be in tune with, here's a direction that this person wants to go, or here's a skill that this person wants to have, or this person wants to aspire into management. And because if they don't, those people will find what they want someplace else. And I think the pressure and the challenge to managers is to make sure that their people are getting what they're looking for out of all that stuff.
Yeah, great point. Great point. All right. Well, let's get to the takeaways, key takeaways. So in the survey, which you can download, I mentioned epicor.com/voice for both of them. If you want to take a look at this one specifically, it's epicor.com/MGR, which is short for manager. Please feel free to go ahead and download that. These are the key takeaways that we pulled out: attracting talent with technology and sustainability, increasing morale and engagement, provide opportunities for upskilling, listening to employees, communication being so important, continuing to modernize the organization, solving the biggest challenges with technology, really evaluating where new technology could fit and plan for the implementation. And we should also add integration after this discussion. And then embracing a data-first strategy, really using data to inform business decisions. So these were just kind of, you know, high-level takeaways. But I'd love to hear from each of you. What were some key takeaways that really stood out to you?
I'll jump out and say that, you know, with regard to management, and I concur with what Mark had said, that management really wants to develop their employees. Middle-level managers' fulfillment is directly proportional to how they can do their job, which is helping those employees win, helping management win. But I think now that we're getting into a position where, you know, 10, 20 years ago, justifying new technology was tough. Today, it's almost like senior executives and owners are compelled to consider it more fully. And so when we start to look at the sins of the past, when executives bought technology and it wasn't implemented and the people didn't know what was in it for them, I mean, those are pretty basic challenges, but fundamental in terms of the success of where it's going to go. So I'm really pleased to see that, you know, the why for management is understanding that data needs to be good to support your decisions and, you know, be choosy about where you fit the technology. And really, if you're going to invest in the technology, upskill to make sure it gets utilized effectively and look for those challenges. I think this balances it out in that it's a hit parade of how to evaluate whether we should go forward with something new or to reinvest in technologies you may already have.
Great point. It is so compelling. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think for me, what I find really refreshing on the report is to look at this from every angle, I think, or for different angles that we normally see. When you integrate the well-being of your workers, the motivation of your managers, the business priorities and the strategy of business, and you look at everything as it relates to a technology project, I think you are set to gain the most out of your investment. And this is a pretty good exercise, I think, for leaders when they're putting the business together about a new initiative. So I think that this 360 view of how technology should be implemented, it's a great way to look at it.
I think you're 100% correct. What's really nice about the findings from this thing is the holistic approach that managers are bringing to their business. And I don't know if it's always been that way in manufacturing, but I think that very quickly, managers are realizing that the answer is, yeah, all of it. And then the challenge becomes, where do you apply the technology versus the skilling versus the careering versus budget constraints and all that stuff? And I think that, you know, to some degree, that may be part of the fun of managing a manufacturing facility.
I was going to say complex, but I'm glad you said fun. All right. Well, thank you so much. This has been wonderful to talk with you all. Great insights. Thank you to John Prydich, the president and CEO of Success Partners. Thank you to Mark Jamieson, the president and CEO of 2W Tech. And thank you so much to Ivan Robledo, the chief revenue officer of Technology Coast Partners. And thank you to all of you who listened in. Please go ahead and check out this report. It's at epicor.com/manager. Thank you again. Great to have this opportunity to chat with you.
Thank you for listening to Manufacturing the Future, brought to you by Epicor. For the latest episodes, search for the show on your podcast platform of choice. Make sure to subscribe to get notified when a new episode is released. To learn more about Epicor, visit epicor.com.